Hashem, such a nice olam to come together to celebrate something we really know very little about. From Katan, probably many of us here are sitting here thinking to ourselves, like, should we really be here right now? Should we really not be here right now? Is this yontiv? Is it not yontiv? As Rabbi Levin mentioned, the more that we delve into the pnimius and yonim, the more that you see that there's something very, very strong about Purim Katan. So another yamin tovim, which is like an up-and-coming yamin tov. Like Tu B'Shvat is an up-and-coming, and Tu B'Av. Purim Katan is one of those yamin tovim, like Lag B'Omer. That as time goes on, we'll start to appreciate it more. So we're ahead of the times a little bit.
I know you don't want it. I think the people in the back want you to have it.
Okay, so. The Bible says. Let's try to understand the Siyata D'Shmaya a little bit about the Indian of Purim Katan. It's Bechlal to understand the Indian of Mishnechnes Adar Marbim B'Simcha. Why is it when it comes to Adar? Manishtana Adar Mikol HaChadashim, that as soon as Adar enters, we're already Marvim B'Simcha. Not only do we find ways to have Simcha, but the Lashon of the Gemara is to be Marvim B'Simcha. There should be an enhanced Simcha during the month of Adar. What's this din by Adar, which is unique to that Chodesh? Furthermore, it's a very interesting medrash. Medrash says that as Haman was parading Mordechai around town, everybody found reason to celebrate. In the kapitel we see every day, we're familiar with Miz Mishir, Chanukah, Sabayis, LeDavid. The medrash tells us that each one of the players of the Nes of Purim recited a different pasuk in that time. The Mordechai was parading around, Mordechai recited the pasuk, Aramimcha Hashem ki dilisani, that you lifted me up from that very low place. You didn't allow my enemy to overcome me, to have simcha upon me, which we understand why that's fit for somebody like Mordechai. Medrash continues to say that Esther sings a pasuk and the Talmidim of Mordechai sing a pasuk, and then something very unusual happens. Medrash tells us Oysa Harasha Haya Omer. Haman himself started to sing a pasuk. And out of this Mizmashir Chanukah Sabayis Adavi, which pasuk does Haman sing? So the Medrash says, and Haman began to sing, V'ani amarti b'shalvi bal emat la'ayla, that I said at my time of shalva, at my time of peace, bal emat la'ayla, that I would never fall. What's this inyan that Haman sings Shira together with the rest of Klal Yisrael? And why dafka this pasuk? Some very interesting Medrash as well. The Medrash tells us, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abira, that there was a man in Shushan, his name was Mordechai. And the Medrash says that Mordechai has a connection to Avram Avinu. Because by Mordechai it says, Ish Yehudi Haya, the word Haya, that he was. And by Avram Avinu we find the Torah tells us that he's given the bracha, Hashem says to Avram, Avram Hoyoy Yia. In Avraham, he is and he will be. It's a very unusual Tzad Hashava, Hekesh, Xerushava to be made. How many times do we find the word Hoya in the Torah, Yihi in the Torah? So there's a comparison between Mordechai and Avraham because of the word Hoya. It's not even the same word as Hoya Yia. Neither of those words are the same as the word Hoya. The Pre-Tzaddik begins his discussion of the Simcha of Purim Katan with bringing a Machlekes Tosfos in the Ran. The Gemara tells us that there's no difference between either Rishon and Adar Sheni except for Megillas Kriyas Megillah and Matanos Avyonim. But the Gemara says, what that means is that le'inyan hesped v'tainis, regarding the iser to fast and to do tainis, and to say hesped, shav and hein, they're the same. So he quotes a machlik as the Ran and Tosfos. He says that the Ran holds that what the Gemara is telling us is that the reason why there's no din of hesped and tainis on Purim Katan is because there's a din suda on Purim Katan. There's a din mishta v'simcha. So the din mishta v'simcha, it eradicates the inyan of hesped and tainis. But he says, according to Tosfos, who learns that there is no din of simcha and mishta on Purim Katan, so then why is there no hesped v'tainis? Klaimer, what he's saying is that if you hold that there's no inyan of simcha and there's no inyan of mishta inherent to Purim Katan, why is there no inyan of hesped and tainis on Purim Katan? And you can look at Pit Tzadik to see the answer of the Pit Tzadik. It's very beautiful. It in itself is a very big yisoid. We know that when it comes to Kedusha, the inyanim of Kedusha, so Kedusha and Torah is compared to many things. One of them is the inyan of shemen, oil. It's under the Zion Mashkim, the seven Mashkim. Each one of the Zion Mashkim, as compares to Torah and to mitzvahs, has a different quality. And of course, shemen's quality is that it rises to the top. But aside from that, the quality of shemen is that wherever shemen goes, it leaves a reisha. Which is why you need special dishwashing soap to clean your dishes. Because there's a reisha which shemen leaves, which is very hard to get out, which just plain water cannot remove. This quality of shemen, which is the quality of kedusha, means that whenever there's an inyan of kedusha and the kedusha goes away, you can still find an akuda of kedusha there. That although you may not be able to see it and it's not present, but shemen means that if you search, you'll be able to find this kedusha. This is a very big yesod which comes out of Hanukkah, of course. Then when the Yevanim were metame the Beis Hamikdash and the Yidden were searching everywhere for a pach shemen, they couldn't find anything. They found mamish nothing. And the Gemara says, but they finally found one pach shemen. And the inyan is that they didn't find anything in the Beis Hamikdash. But what they did find is that there's always what's called a reshimu de kedusha. There's always a little bit of kedusha that wherever kedusha goes, it leaves a reisha. And that's the quality of shemen, which is why the whole nes of Hanukkah pertains to shemen. My Rebbe, he likes to share the following remez. There's a derech in Gematria called milui. Milui means that when you take a word and you spell out the word, so all the letters of the word come together to make the numerical value. It's called milui. The Arizal uses it many, many times. So if you take the word shemen and you make a milui, that means that you're going to spell out the letters of shemen. So you're going to spell out shin, shin, yud, nun, which is 360. And then you're going to spell out the mem, which is mem, mem, which is 80. So 360 and 80 is 440. And then you're going to take the nun, which is nun, vav, nun, which is 106. So 440 plus 106 is 546. And that gematria 546, which is the milui of shemen, which means, milui always means in its totality, bishlemus. It means other things as well. Shemen b'milui 546 is the same gematria as the word reishem. Reish, vav, shin, mem. 206, 340. 546. But shemen, wherever it goes, it leaves a reishem. We want to understand the inyan of Purim Katan, the simcha of Purim Katan, which we paskin that really the simcha of Purim is in Chodesh Adar Sheni, not in Adar Rishon, which leaves us with the following question, which is what Tosfos is really What we're troubled with Tosfos is that what is the simcha of Purim Katan? If there's no inyan of mishteh, there's no simcha inherently to Purim Katan. Pshat though is that every single year we celebrate Purim in one Chodesh Adar. Happens to be that in an Ibra Yor there's two. But what that means from Chodesh Adar Rishon is that though it does not have a Purim Bifnei Atzma, since it's called Adar, it means that it still has a Roshim of the Kedusha of the previous Purims. That if you take a look at Adar, Rishon, Yudalit, you're not going to find Simcha. You're not going to find Mishta either, because that all has to do with Adar Sheni. You can't deny the fact that there's been many Purims celebrated here. Last year you celebrated here, the year before and the year before, many, many times over. So there's a Rishim with the Kedusha, which is Mikayach the Shaman. This comes out from the fact that the Gemara tells us, Mordechai min haTorah minayin, where do we know Mordechai from? So the Gemara tells us, Mar Dror, which is one of the spices of the Shemen HaMishcha. The Nes of Purim has a Shaychus to the Shemen HaMishcha. And Mordechai, the Ish Yehudi, he's at the center of the Nes, so he leaves a Roshim there. He leaves a Roshim for us to find in Adar Rishon, that if we look carefully, we'll be able to see there's an Akuda Kedusha, which is hidden even in Purim Katan. Now, of course, the Tumah does not understand the inyan of Roshim, because they don't understand the qualities of Kedusha. Achashverosh and Haman, they plotted against the Jewish people at a time which Bnei Yisrael were extremely vulnerable, which is post the Tkufa, the Beis HaMikdash, and the Zman of Churban. And they felt, and the Yidden felt this way too, and they convinced the Yidden of this as well. That by celebrating that Achashverosh did, that there would no longer be a Beis HaMikdash, that he pulled out the clothes of the Kohen Gadol and the Kalim to bring Yish into the hearts of the Jewish people, to say that the Beis HaMikdash is gone, it's never going to come back. What he didn't understand is the secret of Kedusha, that there's always a Roshim of Kedusha, that even though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and there's no Beis HaMikdash, and Bnei Yisrael were in Golus, Af al pi chein, there's still a Roshim of Kedusha which is still left in the Beis HaMikdash. This is inherent from the Gemara, from the Mishnah in Megillah itself. Because the Mishnayis in Megillah tell us a din pertaining to Bate Knesios and Bate Midrashos. The Mishnah tells us on the Pasuk of HaHashimais speak the Sheichem, which means that Hashem tells us that He will destroy the Mikdashim. He will destroy the Bate Mikdash. The Gemara Darshins, VaHashimais Mikdashayichem, Bikdushasayin Af Kishahem Shamimim. There's still a Kedusha present even after they've been destroyed. So this is a din by all Bate Knesios, which of course is a Mikdash Ma'at, which emerges Davka from the Mishnayos and Maseches Megillah, because it pertains to the Nes, to the whole inyan of the difference between the Shem and the Kedusha, and what Achashverosh and Haman understood. With this we can understand the Pirkei Rav Elazar, the different opinions of the Midrashim regarding the Eitz, which is Gavoya Chamishim Amma. This Eitz, which is Gavoya Chamishim Amma, where did it come from? Where did they take this Eitz from? So according to Pirkei Rav Elazar, the Eitz was taken from the Kaddish Kaddishim. Why was it taken from the Kaddish Kaddishim? The teretz is because Haman and Achashverosh, they claimed that there was no Beis HaMikdash, that the Beis HaMikdash is dead and it's never coming back. What the Beis HaMikdash wanted to teach Haman and Achashverosh is that you may think that there's no Beis HaMikdash around, but there's still a Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, which is why the Beis HaMikdash itself came to take Nekama from Haman. As if to say, we're still alive, we're well, we're still here, there's a Rishim with the Kedusha, and from that Rishim with the Kedusha is from where the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash came from immediately after the Nes of Purim. And who was the one who found, who drew attention to the fact that there was an Eitz Kaveh Chamishim Amma, Charvona, which is Eliyahu Hanavi. But Charvona is a lashon of Churban. Because what the Megillah is telling us is that even in a matzav of Churban, where there is no Kedusha, still, Kedushasan, Af Kishahim Shamimim. Even in the matzav of Churban. And a remnant to this is that Yasu 8, if you do the gematria of Yasu 8, Yasu is 386, and H is 160. The 386 and 160 is gematria 546. Gematria Roshan. The Yasu 8, that this 8, which was made, was bringing out the Roshan, the Rishim with the Kedusha, which was left from the Kodesh Kodeshim in the Makom HaMikdash. What we see from here is that whenever there's a Zman of Kedusha, and the Kedusha is nostalgic and it goes away, there's always a Roshan of Kedusha to tap into. What this means for us, B'derech HaVayda, is that we all know that we go through high times and low times, as a people and individually. Chalai Yisrael are compared to the Levana. Rabbi Levin mentioned that Esther is compared to the Levana, which represents Knesset Yisrael, that we wax and we wane. This is the nature of a Jew and of God's Chalai Yisrael. What we see from here is that when we have Zmanim of Kedusha, of elevated times, whether it's Tkufas or moments of elevation, a Chacham is unique and that he doesn't just ride the wave and enjoy the high times and say to himself, okay, it's good while it lasts and I know there's going to be low times. What a Chacham does, because a Chacham in the Teva of a Chacham is Chacham Ein of Beroishai, that he sees what's going to happen later. And he recognizes that there's going to be low times later too. It's just part of the Teva HaBriya. So what he does in his Chachma is that he takes from his godless, from his moments of elevation, he puts them away and he's Shoymer them. Shoymer is the Oisios of Roshan. Then he makes a shmirah for them and he puts them away because he knows that he'll need them later on. Like a person who becomes very wealthy, so he doesn't just invest all of his money right away. He knows, like the Gemara says, you have to know how to invest. You have to put a shlish away and another shlish and another shlish. To prepare for the low times in those moments of the high times. This is Marum is in the Pasuk in the Megillah as well. The Megillah tells us at the moment of Nitzachon, V'Haman Neifel Ahamita Asher Esther Aleha, that Haman fell onto the bed that Esther was lying on. The Inyan of Esther, of course, is Hester Panim. The bed of Esther means this man of Hester Panim. And Haman Neifel means that the Yitzhahara, which is called Haman, he causes a Jew to have an afila. He causes a Jew to have an afila at the time of Hester Panim. Bahama Neifel. What the Megillah is telling us, though, is that when the Yitzhahara gets the better of us and he causes us to have an afila, that a Chacham who is in a Vereisha, what he does is that he prepares a bed beforehand, because if he knows he's going to be jumping or falling from a high place, at least he'll land on something soft. That if you know you're going to fall, you might as well fall on something which is going to soften your fall, that you won't get hurt. Bahama Neifel Alamita. That if you're going to fall, fall on a bed. I say Al Hamita, Skamachia Katan. And if you take the word Mata, Mita, you spell it out also with Miloy, we're not going to do this one. Okay. We could just do it quickly. Mem, Mem, Tes, Yud, Tes, and Hey Alf. Okay. That spells, right? Mata, Bemila, Mita, Bemila, Skamachia, Purim Katan. Purim Katan. But the Indian of Purim Katan is that it provides for a person who's Chacham Eino Bereishai, that although he may not see inherent value now, in the Mokam Basha Oihu Oimecham, where he is at that moment, but there's something which is relevant to Purim Katan of the past, and something relevant to Purim Katan of the future. When it comes to the Yitzhahara, you know the Yitzhahara works very hard all the time. The Svarim HaKadoshim say many times from the Baal Shem and the Talmidei Baal Shem, that a Jew should learn from the Yitzhahara how to be resilient in his Avodas Hashem. The Yitzhahara never stops for a moment, never takes any vacations, and so too a Jew in his Avodas Hashem, that an Eved is always working for his master. But especially the Yitzhahara works very hard when a Jew is a tzaddik. That a person who is interested in being an Eved Hashem and walking on the Derech HaMelech and coming close to Hashem, so he sees that he starts to become closer to Hashem, that the Yitzhahara intensifies. He thinks it's going to get easier, but it starts to get harder. Because the Gemara has a klal, Kala Godol Mechaveiro, anybody who is greater than his friend, Yitzhu Godol Himenu. And if not for special Siyata Deshmaya, then a person can't overcome his Yitzhahara because he can't escape it. It's always going with him. And as a person moves forward in his Avodas Hashem, he begins to have different Yitzharas and new types of Yitzharas. And when a tzaddik reaches a point of godless and his Yitzhahara intensifies, what that means is that when the Yitzhahara is at his state of katnas, where he's becoming much, much smaller, because the tzaddik is growing in his Kedusha, that means the Yitzhahara is getting smaller. In his katnas, he becomes very strong. And so therefore, we learn from the Yitzhahara that Nakuda. Mordechai was a Jew that no matter what the inyan was, that even in a time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, he was Ma'amin in the Rishim with the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. That's why the very first thing that we find about Mordechai that the Megillah tells us is something very unusual. When the Torah introduces to us Noach, the Torah says, Eilatodis, Noach, Noach ish, Tzadik, Tamim Hayyib, the Reis of Noach is a very big person, Tzadik and a Tamim. When the Torah, when the Megillah introduces to us Mordechai, what does the Megillah say about Mordechai? Mordechai was Asher Haglam Yerushalayim, Mim Hagola Asher Haglasa. Mordechai was a person who lived in Yerushalayim in the olden days. He went into Galus with Yechaniah. What do we need to know this? This is a Shadach of Mordechai? This is what Esther has to say about Mordechai, a Techt of Esther. Right? She could have said anything she wanted about Mordechai. So this is what she writes about Mordechai, Asher Haglam Yerushalayim. But what she wanted to bring out is that Mordechai was a Jew, that he lived before the Churban and he lived after the Churban. And what it's telling us is that he aligned himself with the Hashkafa, which was pre-Churban Beis HaMikdash, which means that even though he was living in a time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, he was Asher Haglam Yerushalayim. He remembered the Inyan of Yerushalayim and he lived by that even in his Zman of Churban. And the resilience of Mordechai was so strong that it was unusual that there was only one Mordechai that even the Sanhedrin didn't understand the resilience of Mordechai. But because of that resilience of Mordechai, he was able to overcome Haman. And when you overcome the Yitzhahara, and you show more resilience than the Yitzhahara does, then not only do you overcome the Yitzhahara, but you cause the Yitzhahara to be about tshuva, and to help you serve in your Avodas Hashem. We find this by Yaakov in the Malach of Esau, that in that battle between Yaakov and the Malach of Esav, where Yaakov, the Torah tells us that they fought all night. They fought mamish all night. That the Yitzhahara thought that, and that's the Malach of Esav, that he's more resilient than Yaakov is. But what he didn't know is that Yaakov was very strong, and he would not give up. And when Yaakov is menatzeich over the Malach of Esav, so the Malach of Esav says, let me go, I have to sing Shira Tashem. So the Mefarshim says, sing Shira Tashem? Why do you have to sing Shira? You're the Malach of Esav. The Torah says, is that when you learn this Nakuda from the Yitzhahara, and you overcome the Yitzhahara in his own game, in the strength of the Yitzhahara is his resilience, then you're mamtik the Yitzhahara, that even the Yitzhahara itself wants to sing Shira. That's what happened with Mordechai and Haman. But Mordechai is walking down the streets of Shushan, and he says to Hashem, Aramimcha Hashem ki dilisani, I was in a very low place and you picked me up. You did not allow the enemy to rejoice over me. That's the resilience. Not that I overcame him. You did not allow me to fall. But whenever I thought I was going to fall, you were there for me. And everybody sings a Shira. And you know who sings in the Shira too? Haman sings in the Shira also. Because Mordechai took the avoid of Haman. And that avoid of Haman is that resilience. And so therefore, Haman, he sings a Shira too. And what does he say? V'ani amarti b'shalvi bal emet la'aylam. I said in my high times that when I go to the low times, I won't fall. It's exactly the Nakuda of what we're speaking about. That in times of godless, to prepare for the times of katnas. So that when you come into a place of kindness, you have what to fall onto. That's the inyan of what Haman is teaching us in that shir. V'ani amarti b'shal v'bal emat la'ila. This is the inyan, of course, of Avram Avinu. Chazal tell us that the nes of Purim happened in the schus of Avram. The Medrash says that Hashem, who's the Melech, he tells Mordechai, Kachis halavush v'sasus. He tells him, Mahari, Maher, go quickly, Kachis halavush. B'schar Mahari shloish se'im kemach soiles. Nifra levonav shenemar Maher Kachis halavush. But because Avram told Sarah, when the Malachim came, he told them to be quick, Mahari shloish se'im. So his children were rewarded with the nes of Purim. Furthermore, the Medrash tells us, "Bisha sha'amar Zeresh yasu eitz kaveh chamishim ama," that when Zeresh told Haman to make an eitz kaveh chamishim ama, Hakadosh Baruch Hu heard this. Of course, Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem said, "Saveach loy lo yehi kilusin loy." He says, "I cannot allow this to happen. Why not? Uma ani oisil Avraham. What will I do for Avraham that it says about him, 'Vuhu oimid aleihem tachas eitz vayeichelu'?" Did not Avram already prepare an eitz? So you see that the eitz of Avram came and outdid the eitz of Haman. And when a Jew is in a moment where he looks at himself in the mirror and he says, I'm a nothing, I have no ma'asim tovim, I'm not good, what's going to be of me? I keep making an effort and I fall, and I make an effort and I fall, and a person feels like he should fall into a state of yish. So what a Jew should remember at that time is that he comes from Avram Avinu. Because if he comes from Avram, that means that he has a Reisham to Kedusha. And there's something which is called, the Sfarim call it, Magin Avram. That there's the shield of Avram on every single Jew, that no matter where he falls, Avram Avinu is protecting him. That's why Avram is called Avraham HaIvri. Because Ivri doesn't just mean Jew, but it also means from the past, from the Lashon Avar. That a Jew, that although in the present moment he doesn't see anything bright, and if he looks into the future he doesn't see anything good either, but if he looks into his past and he finds the nekudah of Avraham inside of himself, so that bechinda called Avraham Ivri, that if a person reflects on that and what he comes from, and that's not just from where he comes from, he has it inside of himself, there's that nitzitz of Avraham which can spark a Jew back into Avodas Hashem whenever he's in that place of nefilah. And with this we can understand the Medrash we exported before. That the Medrash says, Ish Yehuda Hayu B'Shushan Abira, that there was a man called Mordechai who was in Shushan. Oh, there was a man called Mordechai Hayu B'Shushan? Oh, we know this Lashon before, because it says, Avraham Hayu Yiyah. So what does Hayu have to do with Hayu Yiyah? What the pshat is that Mordechai after the Churban was in a state of what? He was in a state of Churban himself. Can't appreciate the milus that the tzaddikim had at the time of the Beis HaMikdash to know what it means post-Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's like going from Chaim to Misa. It's like mamish a fish out of water. We have no idea what it means to live in Beis HaMikdash, because if we knew, we have no words to explain what if we knew. So Avraham Avinu was a person who came into Galus, which is what the Pasuk is talking about, as a Hayah. He wasn't a Hayah. He was not in the Hayveh. I was once a Mordechai. When I was living in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, I was. But when he reflected on that Hayah, and he said to himself, listen, I may be very Shvach right now, but that Hayah takes me all the way back to where? To Avram HaIvri. Of which it says about Avram, Hashem says to Avram, you Avram, Hayah Yiyah. You are now, and you will be. Oh, you are now and you will be. What do you mean you are now and you will be? When will you be? You're going to be for all future generations. And whenever a Jew is a Haya, he's going to fall into that place called Avram Haya Yiyah. We speak about Mishnechnas Adam Marbim Simcha. We say to ourselves, "Mishenichnas Adar, Marav Simcha." What's so great about Adar? And you come into Adar, everything is great. So the Pashup Shana, why that is because when we look back at the olden days, and I don't mean olden as long time ago, I mean 6 months ago, Tishrei, everything was great in Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, Sukkot. A Jew who has a real chush to Kedusha, he looks back at those days and he says, ah, these are the glory days. Yom L'Rayim, Gevaldik, Halamayim should be like that all year round. And then comes a Cheshvan, and then a Kislev, and then a Teves, and then a Shvat, which are all very dark months, albeit for Chanukah, but that Chanukah is a big Chiddush, of course. Midrash said there's no Chanukah. And in the times of Purim, there was certainly no Chanukah yet. So everything is very dark. As soon as Tishrei closes its doors and we head into Cheshvan, everything is very dark and one big giant nefila. And as soon as we cross the border of Adar and we're in Purim territory, we have a lot to celebrate. Because we look back at the journey and we look back at our footsteps and we say, listen, we traveled very far. It took a long time to get here and we're happy we're here. And everybody, when they come to Adar, we should breathe a sigh of relief. We made it not just through the winter. We made it through a very dark tkufa in the months of the Jewish calendar. We're happy to be already in Adar because when we look a little bit weiter, in the future, we see a Nisan is coming. We have Shchaydish Nisan, the whole month of Nisan. Pesach is Gevaldik, and Sfiras Ha'omer, and Lag Ba'omer, and Pesach Sheni, and then Shavuos. Ah, Mamish. One timing after the next. So we made it. We can say that we made it. So we have a lot to be happy for when we come to Rosh Chodesh Adar. But if we look a little bit weiter, after Shavuos, it's going to be one big giant fall. Much bigger fall than there was by Cheshvan, Kislev and Tevis and Shvat. There's going to be Tams and Av. That means there's going to be Churban Beis Hamikdash again. So a person who's Chacham Eina Bereishai, when it comes to Rosh Chodesh Adar, he already sees later on that there's going to be a Shavuos and he's very happy about that. But he also sees that there's going to be a Tams and an Av. So what does he start doing now? He starts to prepare Simcha now for the times of Tams and Av which are going to come later. That's how Chacham works. So that's the mid of Shemen. Shemen is Chachma. That a Chacham Einu Bereisha, he's Roya Sanaylad, and he sees even beyond Shavuos that there's going to be a Tamaz and Av that he has to prepare for now. So what does he do? He comes into Adar and he finds ways to be Mesameach, and he says, I have to put away Simcha, Marbe Mesimcha. I have a lot of Simcha now. Why do you need Marbe Simcha? Because the extra Tosefa Simcha, which you're going to have now, you're going to need it for later. You need it later on. With this, we can explain a mimer from the Chayza, because the Gemara tells us a very puzzling thing. The Gemara Tanya says, "Kishem shemishenichnas av mematim b'simcha, kach mishenichnas adar marvim b'simcha." When it becomes av, already we're mematim b'simcha, and so too an adar we're marvim b'simcha. What does the two have to do with each other? What does av have to do with adar? But the teretz is the Gemara is telling us that when it comes adar, it's related to the mematim b'simcha of av. But zot the Chayza, he says the following thing. You have to know the Chayza, his whole inyan was a midah of Simcha. The Chayza said, what does it mean when the Gemara says, Kishem shemishenichnas av mematim b'simcha? Zok the Chayza, when av comes in, you can memait all the tzaris of av with the midah of Simcha. Where do you get that Simcha from? So to know where you get that Simcha from, you have to read the rest of the Maimon. Mematim b'simcha? From where? Because when you came into Adar, you were marvim b'simcha. And that Tosefa Simcha called Marbim B'Simcha, in the beginning of Adar, you're going to use that Tosefa Simcha called Marbim to be Memait all the tzaris later on in Tamaz and Av. Memat B'Simcha. But that Mematin comes from Purim Katan especially. Because you look at Purim Katan, you're like, where are you? Who are you? You have nothing to celebrate. There's no Megillas Esther. There's no Matanos Avirayin. Where do you come from? You come from a Rishim with the Kedusha. That's where you come from. You come from the past because you were able to see, you had the foresight to see, you were from the previous poems, when you look back, you see why there should be a Nekudu of Kedusha now. But a Chacham says, oh, there's a lot of Kedusha now for what? I'm going to need that for later on. And the whole Indian of a Katan is that he's a Miyut. And the Katan has the Kerech to be Memayit, all the Tzaris of Tamaz and Av, which are going to come later. That's why it's Dafkin Ibur Yor, because Ibur is a Lashon Avar. When you go back and you look back at where the Kedusha comes from, which is the Rishim with the Kedusha, you can understand the Mahos of what Purim Katan is all about. So therefore, to understand Purim Katan, the meaning of Purim Katan, what it tells us as an Am, and it tells us as each and every one of us as individuals, that it's a time as we pass through the month of Adar to be Marve B'Simcha. Like my Rebbe says, he makes a very big deal with Matel Zilber about Purim Katan. Somebody once said to him, there's a big tish tomorrow night, Borough Park, everybody's invited. So somebody once said to him, so why are you making such a big deal about Purim Katan? So the Rebbe said, because in this generation now, whenever there's an opportunity to have Simcha, you should chap it. Because we live in tough times, and everybody has tzaris, everybody has a Thomas and Av in their lives. So whenever there's an opportunity for Simcha, we should grab onto it, so we should have a reservoir of Simcha to fall back on. That's what a Jew is looking for, reservoirs of Simcha in his life. Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us that as we pass through these months of Adar, we should be imbued with that marbe of Simcha of Adar, so wherever Hashem turns us in our life, we should be able to fall onto a Simcha to Kedusha, to revive us. We should be zeichet to see the ultimate revival of Tchias HaMeisim, Tchias Goyel Tzedek, Meir v'Meinu Amen.
Amen.